Galatians 3, verses 22 through 25. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law.
Faith in Jesus Christ, the key to freedom. The book of Galatians proclaims the glorious freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. It is properly called the Charter of Christian Liberty, and it is a full-throated defense of the gospel of grace alone. We, as God's people, are not required to earn our salvation or to keep a particular set of religious practices or rituals in order to be saved. We are freed from the yoke of the law, which neither we nor any before us could keep, not even the great man Abraham or the great man Moses. The basis of our salvation is the person and work of Jesus Christ, God who became man, who kept all the law, who suffered the full wrath of God in our place, and who died the death that we deserve, and then rose from the grave victorious over sin, Satan, death, and hell. God made it available to us, not on the basis of our good work, not on the basis of our attractive personalities, but on the basis of his promise, his free promise, in other words, his grace. Because of this miraculous and gracious action of our God, we are free. Free from the crippling and impossible task of self-salvation by law-keeping. Free to live for God, whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. Free from the brutal oppression of sin and Satan. And free to obey God from the heart. To do as Psalm 119:32 says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. It is the maximum freedom that we can have to live for God. But we must partake of this freedom that has been made available to us. We must appropriate it. We must make it our own. In other words, I know that Jesus Christ died for some and paid for some, but how do I know that he died for me and paid for me? How do I know that I am free? Freedom is available, but how do I know I am free? And the answer is faith. Through faith. Faith is the key that sets us free. The key that unlocks our shackles and ends our imprisonment to sin and to hell and to death. Our salvation is by grace alone, given and not achieved. But it is in Jesus Christ alone. He is the one who achieved it in time by the decree and plan of God the Father and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it is through faith and faith alone that it is applied to us individually. Faith is the key. Faith is the instrument. Faith is the vehicle, the catalyst, the divine delivery system by which the redemption accomplished by Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection is applied to me. So first, let's look at our imprisonment. Before you are set free, before you regard yourself as free, you must understand that you were imprisoned. You can, set free doesn't mean anything apart from set free from what? So you must first understand you were a prisoner, or you are a prisoner. This is the condition of every person ever born. Galatians 3:22, our text this morning, Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. It's a universally inclusive term, the whole world, every person ever born. That's from our text this morning, but it's also all over the Bible, the Word of God. Ever since our first parents, Adam and Eve, decided to use their free will to sin, we have been slaves to sin. No longer free in any meaningful sense, but rather compelled by our own warped internal sin nature to choose sin every time. Have you ever sinned? It's a foolish question. Of course you have sinned. But if you don't believe me, listen to Jesus, John 8:34. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And Romans 3:23, all have sinned. So if you've sinned, which you have, then you are a slave to sin. As slaves to sin, we were both fully complicit in our sin and yet miserable and frustrated by our sin. Romans 6, verse 20 says, we offered our bodies in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. So we offered ourselves into slavery. We wanted the sin. We chased the sin. But we hated the slavery deep down. Titus 3, verse 3, we too were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, in malice and in envy, being hated and hating one another. The marred image of God still in us told us that it was wrong. It robbed us of peace in our soul. It told us that this sin lifestyle is going to lead to destruction, and yet we could not bring ourselves to break free from it. Miserable and frustrated by it, yet pursuing sin. Romans 7 describes the tortured state of such a person in their slavery to sin. The holy commandments of the law came, but sin sprang to life and produced death in us. Listen to Romans 7, 14 and continuing. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand. What I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? This is describing the torment and misery of the man. He knows what he's doing is wrong, but he's a slave to it. He's imprisoned by it, and he can't break free from it. That is slavery. That is terrible slavery. That is domination. That is imprisonment. Inability to break free. Misery. Frustration. And I tell you this morning, if you are outside of Christ, that is you. Oh, perhaps you've muffled the voice of your conscience crying out, but you can't quite silence it all the way. You hear it nagging you. So you suppress the truth with more and more sin and wickedness, but you cannot find peace. You're restless like this man was in Romans 7. So you must see your condition for what it is. Slavery, imprisonment, frustration, and misery. It's not that you're in a good condition, but maybe God has something a little bit better or a little bit different. No, you are in bad, bad condition. Misery, frustration, and imprisonment, slavery. Galatians 3:22, a prisoner of sin. 3:23, locked up. 3:23, prisoners of the law. 3:25, under the supervision, the authority, the oversight of the law. Don't avoid the topic by looking away from it. Don't whistle past the graveyard. See your true condition for what it is, enslaved and imprisoned. And see your need to be set free. See the purposes of God's law to show you your need, to drive you to the Savior. The law will not free you from your imprisonment, but it will convict you of your need for that freedom. Point number two, faith is the key. Now, that's the principal point of our text this morning, that faith is the key to this gospel freedom, the key to get from the old slavery to freedom, the key to freedom from our former imprisonment. God promises us freedom. He promised us salvation. He promised us a restoration to loving relationship with him. That's covered in the few verses prior to our text, Galatians 3:15 through 18. God made these promises, and these promises are for us, but yet we're not free to claim them. We see them. They're right over there, but we're locked up and imprisoned. We can't get there. We are locked up and imprisoned by our sin, by our inability to obey the law, 3:23. And so St. Paul tells us the way that we are justified by faith, verse 24. It is through this faith that we are saved, by believing in Jesus Christ, by trusting in him alone for our salvation. By that, we are set free to live for God. So what is this faith? We want to know about this key that sets us free. What is it? Well, faith is at bottom entrustment. It's a gift of God in which we entrust ourselves to him. It is a difficult concept to bring precise and whole definition to, but it is a believing into Jesus Christ. It's not simply a knowing or an understanding of certain information. That's called in the Latin notitia. For example, you know information about what time it is, but you don't trust in that information. You're just aware of it. So that's notitia. It's not simply obtaining the information. It's not simply agreeing that certain information is true. That is a census. I agree that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. So you're aware, you agree, that's a true fact, but there's no entrustment involved in it. Perhaps more germane to us, we can know that there is a God. That by itself is not faith. You can agree that there is a God. You can agree that the God of the Bible is God. That is not faith. You can agree that Jesus died and was raised from the dead. That is not faith. You can even agree that Jesus Christ is very God, the second person of the Trinity. None of that by itself will save you. And I'll prove it to you. The devil knows and agrees with all of that information. He agrees with 100% of it. In fact, he knows it more certainly than we know it, but he is not saved. James 2:19, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So knowing the information and agreeing with the information doesn't save you. It is not the knowing that matters. You have to know, but that's not sufficient. It is what you do with that information that matters, or better yet, what God causes you to do with that information. Now, I'm stressing the point because many are self-deceived in the church world. Perhaps they grew up in the church, hearing about God from an early age, or hearing that Jesus saves from an early age. Perhaps they grew up memorizing Bible verses, confessions of faith, and so on. And that's all well and good, but that information will not save you by itself. It may enlighten you, it may encourage and inspire you, but it will not save you, the fact that you agree with it. Don't think that you're saved because you go to church, or you go to church every Sunday, or you go to every service multiple times a week. Don't think that you'll be saved because you know a lot of doctrine, or you memorized a lot of scripture, or you had a lot of spiritual experiences. The devil knows more scripture than you. He is not saved. The devil knows more doctrine than you. He is not saved. The devil has been to church more times than you, and he is not saved. And I will wager the devil has had more experiences than you and is not saved. It is not experience, information, study, or memorization that saves. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Make sure that you have faith, that you have this entrustment. Make sure that you have trusted in Jesus Christ, his person and work alone. Don't breeze past it. Don't assume it. Well, I haven't been into any major sin lately, so I must be saved. Well, I'm glad you haven't been into any major sin lately, but that doesn't save you. There's lots of people walking around out there in the world right now, not into any major sin, which we also characterize as sin that I don't do. There are a lot of people walking around like that, not saved right now. Don't breeze past it and assume it. Your eternity depends on whether you have this faith or not. Make sure your conclusion is correct. And if you've made the good profession, Jesus Lord, then make sure that your life, that the evidence supports that profession. In other words, that reality demonstrates that your profession is true. In other words, we must ask, is my profession of faith a mere profession? Or have I produced the fruit of faith, the good deeds, the obedience to God that demonstrates that my profession is true, the actions that flow from my profession? Have I produced fruit? Am I continuing to produce fruit? If all I have is old, wrinkled, moldy fruits from 25 years ago, I have to ask, am I really in the Lord? Good works cannot save you, but they are the evidence of saving faith. Just like the wind ruffling leaves or flags is evidence of the wind. When the flag ruffles, that's not the wind. It's the effect of the wind. And so it's the same with good works. They are the evidence of our faith. As I said, faith is entrustment. It means I am relying on Jesus alone for my salvation. It means that I see my inability to save myself or even to contribute a little bit to that effort. All you can contribute is the need. I know about Jesus from the Word of God, Notitia, who he is, God and man, Word made flesh. I know what he did from the Word of God. He lived a perfect life for God, suffered the wrath of God for us, and died in our place. And assensus, I agree with all of that. I agree based on the Word of God. I agree based on the internal conviction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I agree that it's true. But beyond this knowing and beyond this agreeing, I trust in Jesus Christ, believing into him. This happens when I am born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Latin word fiducia. I put my trust into Christ to receive him as Savior and Lord and to be vitally united to him, to belong to him, to submit to him, to put myself under him, to say not just he is Lord and Savior, but he is my Lord and my Savior. To say proudly, I belong to him. I am a slave of Christ. Doulos, bond slave, joyful bond slave of Christ. Set free from the misery, from the heavy yoke of the devil, and into the freedom, to the glory, to the joy of slavery to God. It's the difference between knowing that the ark will save you from the flood and entering into that ark to be saved. Believing that the ark will save some doesn't do you any good unless you go in. So come into the ark of Jesus Christ. This believing into is an internal, spiritual process wrought by God's Holy Spirit as he regenerates us. He describes it in the scriptures, giving us a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit. It is knowing that I am a prisoner of sin and justly condemned, and that Jesus will set me free, that only Jesus will set me free. And so I cry, set me free, Lord Jesus. And when the Son sets me free, I will be free indeed, eternally free and eternally secure in Jesus Christ. He will do for me what the law could not. The law can point to my need for salvation. The law can demonstrate to me that I am a sinner. It cannot set me free, but the Son can and will set me free by grace through faith. He will do for me what the law could not. He will do for me what I could not. Change my heart, change my spirit, change my very nature. Cause me to love God and to live for God and to know the one, the true, the living God as my Father, my merciful and my loving Lord. It's a totally new relationship. Before we only knew him as judge. Now we can know him as Father, loving Father. This faith is a life-giving faith. It is a life-changing faith. When you see somebody with real faith, you will see life in that person. you will see a changed life in that person, a metamorphosis, a total transformation. The law I was unable to keep drove me to the cross. But there at the foot of the cross, faith was revealed. Faith came into me, the gift of God, all by the operation of His Holy Spirit. God came and said, "You are a prisoner, you are locked up, you are a slave, but be free." And I was made free, free of the punishment of sin, free of the power of sin, free of the frustrating and miserable slavery to sin, free of imprisonment to sin. You remember that man I read about in Romans 7, tortured in my inner being. I want to do good, but I only do evil. I say I don't want to do that, but then I do it. I say I want to do this, but I don't do it. It's misery. It's slavery. Who will rescue me from this miserable life? There is an answer to that question. Romans 7, 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ rescues us by grace through faith. And what a rescue it is. The old life of spasming and failing and frustration and misery is over. Now, instead of wanting to do the good but being unable to do it, we want to do it and we are enabled to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead of wanting to say no to sin but finding ourselves falling into the mud of sin again, now we say, "I will not do it." I say no and make it stick. The old failure life is over. Now we are spiritual super conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Romans 8, 37. The old life of condemnation is over. The old life of fear and death and judgment is over. For as Romans 8, 1 tells us, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All there was before for us is condemnation. Now there is no condemnation through Christ Jesus. The old life of imprisonment to sin, to the supervision and authority, to the overseer of the law, all that law we could not keep, all that is over. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8, 2. Oh, that law could point me to Christ, could show me my need for Christ, but it was powerless to save due to my sin nature. But what the law was powerless to do, because weakened by my sin nature, God did by sending His own Son to be a sin offering for us. It is all there in Christ Jesus. We must enter in through the narrow door of faith. Now, it will cost us our all to do so. That door is narrow, so we can't bring all of our baggage in with us. It will cost us a lot. It will cost us everything. It will certainly cost us our sin. We must leave it behind. It will certainly cost us our own agenda, our supposed autonomy. It will cost us our pride. It will cost us our supposed self-determination. Now, remember, it's not really self-determination because we were slaves to sin, but we had the illusion of it at least. No, we must leave it all behind to go to freedom in Christ Jesus through the narrow door of faith. Unlock the door to the imprisonment of sin. Leave all that behind. Go to the freedom. Unlock the door to the imprisonment of sin and be set free. Unlock the door to imprisonment of the law that you cannot obey perfectly, which is to say, you cannot obey it. Unlock it with the key of faith, and then go out to live in glorious freedom with our loving Lord. Point number three, faith in Jesus Christ. Now, it's a key point not to be missed, but it is not simply the magical power of faith that sets us free. It is the object of that faith that is critical. You can have faith in these flowers in front of me. It will not do you any good. I don't think they're even real. It's the object of faith that's critical. Where you put that faith, not faith in faith that saves. It is faith in Jesus the Christ. There's Christmas ads. We see them every year. We make fun of them at my house. They just say, believe. And it's written everywhere. Believe. Believe what? You can believe all kinds of things. It won't do you any good. It is not the power of faith that sets free. It is the power of the object of the faith, the power of Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, God and man. It's all over our text this morning. Galatians 3:24. The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ. Not to lead us to faith, to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Not by faith alone, by faith in Christ alone. Verse 23, what was promised, salvation, being given through faith in Jesus Christ. Wherever you see this idea of faith in the Bible, it is faith in Jesus Christ, explicitly or implicitly. Our text continues, before this faith came, what faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. Before it came, we were locked up until faith, what faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe into Jesus Christ. In other words, faith. It's all over this text. Three short verses. But what you get is imprisonment, freedom, faith. Imprisonment, freedom, faith. Over, over, and over again. It's all over our text, and it's all over the scriptures. Acts 2:37 and 38. Peter is preaching the gospel. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Into the name of Jesus Christ. It's not magic water or magic ceremonies or the magic of your faith that saves. It's faith in Christ that saves. Baptized does nothing. You take a shower probably almost every day. It doesn't save you. It's just water. Baptized into Christ as the evidence, as the outworking, as the declaration of my faith makes the difference between getting wet and showing my faith. As St. Paul preached the gospel of Jesus by the river at Philippi in Acts 16, it says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to believe Paul's message. Not to believe in general, not to respond generally, but to believe in the gospel, in the message, to respond in faith. It's not just a response that matters. It's the quality, the character, the substance of that response. And of course, our Lord Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In other words, Christ alone. No other. Now, I'm emphasizing the point not because most of you are unaware of that doctrine, most of you are, but because we live in an age of subjectivism and hyper-individualism. One thing works for me, and the opposite thing works for you, and it's all valid across all points. The idea of society is, well, as long as you believe in something and believe it sincerely, that is good enough. All roads lead to heaven is the idea. We all worship the same God, whether Christian or Muslim or Norse gods or some deity I invented in my own head. That's the ethos of our society. The answer is no. There is one way and one way only to God the Father, to the true and living God. One way and one way only out of the imprisonment to sin and to empty legalism. One way and one way only to glory through faith in Jesus Christ. It may feel nice to affirm people wherever they are, as one heretical theologian said recently. Affirm people wherever they are. If you're standing in the middle of I-5 at rush hour traffic, I'm not going to affirm you where you are. I'm going to say, get out of there. It's dangerous. But the idea of society is, go ahead, I affirm you where you are, even in your danger, because in the end, I don't really care about you. It might feel nice to do that for the moment. It might feel kind to leave room for uncertainty on pie-in-the-sky issues like universalism, the idea that everyone is saved. It may feel nice to do all that. It may cover over some rough points. It may do all that, but it is not love to comfort people who are headed for eternal torment and eternal agony. It's indifference. That's what it is. I feel good now, you suffer later. That's a win for me and a loss for you. No, we must speak truth. truth as the word of God declares it. There is one way to salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. All else is just unbelief packaged up in different forms. 1 John 2:23. All else is detestable idolatry. Isaiah 44:19. Even a different Jesus. You can use the name Jesus and still have a false idol, still have unbelief. Even that is detestable idolatry in the sight of God that will take you to hell. Your sincere but erroneous belief in something cannot save you. The rich man of Luke 16, after all, trusted in his wealth. It was a proxy for his spirituality. I must be in the Lord because I have all this money. God gave me all this money to bless me. Therefore, that is the proof of my salvation. What happened to him? Pastor Matthew would say, surprised by hell. The Pharisees and the other religious leaders of Jesus' day trusted in their religious observance and in their religious office. They said, we are the priests, we are the Pharisees and so on. We are the big shots around here. We spend our life working for the Lord. Of course, we are saved. But they rejected Jesus the Christ when he came. Did all their religious office and observance save them then? No. They too were surprised by hell. Matthew 23:14. Or think of the Lord, Lord people of Matthew 7. That can be us. The Lord, Lord people trusted in their many good works. You hear them saying it. Didn't we prophesy in your name, driving out demons in your name, performing many miracles in your name? Jesus didn't say you didn't do those things. He said what? You didn't trust in me. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. See, they were trusting in their works. They were trusting in their religious observance. They were trusting in their acts of service. They put their faith in those other things. They never trusted in Jesus alone. They never put their faith in him alone. They never believed into. And so they were rejected. Notice he calls them evil doers. He says, I never knew you. They were rejected and cast out, also surprised by hell. Don't be surprised by hell. Instead, let us make our calling and election sure by making sure that we have put our faith, our fiducia, our entrustment in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. That we have received the promise given to Abraham and to all God's people. That we have received his promise of eternal salvation, eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ. Those prepositions, through, in, through faith in Jesus Christ. That we know that we were prisoners, but we know that we have been set free by faith. One thing you notice about prisoners is they don't go and hang around at the jail. So if you're still hanging around at the jail, imprisoned by your sin, draw a conclusion. I have not been set free. If I am set free, why am I standing around in this prison? You would get out of there. Make your calling and election sure. Know that you were a prisoner and know that you are now free by using your freedom for God. Know that you are justified. But justified by what? By faith in Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I say, if you have done so, if you have made your good profession, if you make your calling and election sure, having done so, let us then rejoice. Let us rejoice in our God-given faith in Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice in our glorious salvation, which came to us through faith. Let us rejoice in our glorious freedom in Jesus Christ and his gospel of freedom. And rejoicing in our own freedom, let us invite others to join in our happiness. Let us go and free others. See, the key of faith is given to us by God, and he'll give it to others as we share the gospel with them. So rejoice in Christ by sharing Christ with others. Rejoice in Christ and glorify Christ by offering Christ to others, offering freedom to others, offering life to others through Jesus Christ. Now it's true, as our text says, that the whole world is imprisoned by sin. but it's also true that God the Son offers to set the whole world free from sin, free from imprisonment, free from slavery. It is true that he shines his great light of freedom to the people walking in miserable slavery and great darkness. He loves not just us, he loves us, but he loves the world. Not just you and not just me, he loves the world. They're equally qualified as we are, sinners. That's what makes you qualified. They are equally qualified, but he loves them. He says, John 3:16, God so loved the world. His atoning sacrifice is sufficient for all the world. You don't have to save some for yourself. If you already have it, you can give it away. There is an infinite supply of grace. There's an infinite supply of salvation. So it's true, they're all imprisoned, but they can all be set free. Most will reject it, but there are many out there who won't. There are many out there who are God's elect, God's chosen people, who are waiting to respond in faith. They may not know it, but that's what they're doing. And you are the person with the key. You are the person with the key that unlocks the door, the key of faith, faith in Jesus Christ. Go and share that key with others. Some will take it, some will not. But go and offer that key of faith to all. Offer it to all to be set free and rejoice. And then may we all rejoice together now and in glory forever. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the glorious gift of faith. It is familiar to us, and so we can forget the shocking, marvelous, glorious, indescribable wonder of our faith. May we stop and think about it. May we meditate on it. May we rejoice in it, and may we share it with others, that your glory may be magnified in our time. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.